Good evening. Great to see everyone. Thanks for being here. I'm going to say a little bit today about five precepts, the ceremony, and Jukai. Jukai. So different communities put different meanings on different ceremonies. And so let's see. So here, when someone with the five precept ceremony, generally speaking, as a prerequisite, someone has been practicing with us for at least a year, and pretty steadily, so showing up for things, and they want to take the five precepts. Yeah, they come to a point, this is my path for now, and they feel ready to commit to the precepts and to continue in steady practice. And then generally speaking, they ask me to give them the precepts, and then we evolve the preparation from there. There's further steps. And everybody here has done some sort of precept ceremony, either with me or with another group. So that's the basics of how that goes. And then as far as what's next, we just keep practicing. So taking on the precepts as our life, we just keep maturing in that commitment. And we just keep continuing with the practice on and off the cushion. It's not like, I've never taken martial arts, but it's not like my shallow understanding maybe of some martial arts traditions where there's a yellow belt and then you go for the, you know, there's a white belt and then you go for your yellow belt and then you go for your green belt, right? There's this next thing, right? So we try to stay away from that kind of mentality. That's not what it's about. And also sometimes people will take Jukai and receive Roksu. But I want to try to explain that that's not everybody, and it's not this next thing. One problem when that point can't be gotten across is that people take Jukai and receive a Roksu, and then they don't really get that there's no next thing, and so they, right? The practice flags. So we have to establish a practice, a strong, steady practice that doesn't need this kind of carrot to keep us going, this external thing. We affirm and support each other, right? Yeah. But what we're getting is to participate in bodhisattva work together, and we're all already doing that. So Jukai, generally speaking, is for someone who has taken the five precepts, and also things have evolved in our personal relationship where there is a teacher-student relationship or a training relationship between me and that individual. And this will happen with some people. And this won't happen with other people. And all of the people are good bodhisattvas, right? So if you're wondering if we have a training relationship or a teacher-student relationship, it's not a binary yes or no thing. We all have at least, in my relationships with all of you, we have some aspects of it. But you might ask yourself if I know, if Kojin knows, what your primary practice is, and if we're checking in regularly about that. So sometimes people come and participate with the group, and even very regularly, and maybe even take on posts, which I'll talk about a little tonight, but it's kind of hard to do if we're not in person doing that. But they're not really interested in having regular one-on-one meetings and developing that relationship and being encouraged in that way. The heart or what have you doesn't yearn for it. They're not feeling like there's anything missing. And by and large, I do find that people manage their own practices quite well, quite well. I think it's good to check in with someone at least periodically to make sure that we're not fooling ourselves, maybe. But yeah, so some people decide they want a teacher-student relationship specifically, and that they want to dig into that really vital aspect of Zen and what Zen training is all about. And some people don't. So hopefully that's really clear. And some people have really expressed to me clearly that they don't. And I value them as members of our group, and I want those people to continue practicing with us. Yeah. But we won't do Jukai. You know, we won't do the Roksu ceremony, because that's indicative of that relationship in this group. Yeah. Now the tricky thing, especially outside of Japan, I think, or in the United States, is that different groups divide up this Jukai thing or signify, Roksu signify slightly different things. So this is where we've settled here, and a little bit about that. So yeah, if you're one of those people who end up, and people end up in a training relationship through different routes over time, end up in that kind of relationship with me personally and want to take Jukai, then you would ask me, you know, just like we usually do with the five precepts. Generally also before Jukai, the other really important part of the Zen tradition is lawn retreat. So generally also someone, if they're to the point where they're asking for Jukai, they've done several lawn retreats. A little hard for me to require that because I don't personally offer them, but I think most people are in areas where those are pretty accessible. And now they're even accessible online. Lawn retreat is something I'd encourage everybody to try. The Zen community of Oregon has a 3 lawn retreat kind of requirement prior to Jukai. And my understanding of that, or when I helped administer the preparations for these ceremonies there, my understanding of that is and was that you need to do a couple long retreats to see if you really feel the vitality and resonance, you know, the vitality of that practice and the resonance with that practice and the desire to continue that practice. And long retreat, like the teacher-student relationship, is a vital part of the Zen tradition. So maybe if you're really doing the Zen thing, you're doing those two things, long retreat and regular rhythm, and like really digging in with somebody, with somebody. And I want this group to be wide enough to include many people who are not doing Zen in that specific way. So hopefully I've made that fairly clear. Regarding the training relationship or the teacher-student relationship, I gave a talk in 2020 on April 13th. And if you even remember this approximate date, you can scroll down through the podcast talks and find it. And it's called San Zen and Developing a Training Relationship. Yeah. So if you want to be reminded about more about that, then there it is. We can always talk formally or informally, one-on-one, to get personal questions answered. At this point, I would like to see if there are any general questions that are specifically on this clarification. But before that, I said I'd mention a little about posts. So here in Anchorage, Zen Gyoku has taken on the post of Tenzo, which means, it's the Japanese word, means head cook. So what that means for us is that during retreat, for people who are participating in person, of course, he's the cook. And so he prepares all of the food and does all of the kitchen stuff and does it in harmony with the Zen tradition. So he does it in a way that's, you know, unobtrusive to the Zendo. And he's doing a great job. So thank you, Zen Gyoku. Some other posts that you would traditionally see in a Zen community. So these are ways that people, generally with a little seniority at least, step forward to help hold what needs to happen in a Zendo. Generally those posts are chant leader, bell ringer, timekeeper, head of Zendo, and I'm doing like all of these right now, but sometimes you'd have another person who's not the teacher who is also empowered to has the job of holding the energy of the space, giving corrections as needed to maintain this practice environment, strong sitting environment. Did I miss anything big? Sometimes there's some other ones like work leader. We haven't been doing work practice at our sesshin recently, but we have had sesshin in the past or short retreats with a work leader here. Sometimes teacher's attendant might help set up certain things, like set up for sanzen. Missing any big ones? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any questions about this specific topic before we chant and close that? So we'll close the talk portion by doing the four principles of practice.